I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
My name is Jane Rago, and I'll be serving as your worship associate today. Our minister, Reverend Lisa Day, is our worship leader this morning. Our guest pianist is Becca Flaherty. Board member Susan Beversluis will bring our Love at the Center moment later on during the service. Our worship, religious education, and covenant group theme for November is Nurturing Gratitude. Here at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you on YouTube and here on site, whoever you know yourself to be and wherever you are on your journey. If you are visiting with us this morning and you would like to introduce yourself, please rise or raise your hand. Mary will bring a microphone, and just as part of our commitment to accessibility, we ask that you do speak in the microphone because we have people on YouTube who will love to hear from you. Are there any visitors on this side?
Betty and Dave Wall, very nice to join you this morning. We're UUs from Albany, New York. Our two adult sons were raised in the UU church there. They went to camp at Unirondack, and we're just visiting here for a few days. It's great to be back in Savannah, but we are happy to be back in a welcoming, hopeful, optimistic community together.
Welcome. And there was, so anybody else on this side? Yes, okay.
My name is Mindy Motlag. I'm a longtime Unitarian, and I was a Unitarian here in Savannah before we got to this building.
Wow.
So it's in the other two-story, what was it called?
Somebody,
Schachtel House. See, that's how old I am. I can't remember, but I don't know. And then I started coming back again for a few times with a friend, and then my journey just took a lot of forks, and I stayed at home on Sunday. So it's good to be back, and it's good to see some people and that I remember from ages ago.
Welcome. Okay, any other visitors? All right. If you are looking for a new faith community, we encourage you to visit our church several times to get a feel for our worship style and our approach to matters of faith and religion. It's so good to have you all here with us. Please join us in Ron Hall for refreshments following the service. And you will find Ron Hall it's in the next building right behind us, by following the crowd through this door or out the main doors, or ask one of our ushers, Mary or Chris. Church announcements are emailed to members and friends on Tuesdays and Fridays, so you can check your email for more complete details about the following announcements. The first one is today, November 2nd, we are having our town hall meeting on Building 1. So we are excited to share our vision for the renovation of Building 1, which is the mostly unused building between our sanctuary and Ron Hall. And so there'll be a town hall meeting today after the service in the sanctuary. We hope to start that at 12:30. We are preparing for the 2026 Georgia legislative session. And on November 15th, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah is hosting the third annual UU Georgia Legislative Action Network. So come and learn more and building skills on how to advocate for policies with love at the center. Finally, Hilton Head Band Folderol, featuring vocalist Candace Ray, will perform Sunday, November 16th at 3 p.m. in our sanctuary, and tickets are $25 on Eventbrite. With the lighting of our chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. Our chalice lighter this morning is Roger Steves. And our chalice lighting words are by Leah Derland Jones. For those who came before us, we offer gratitude and thanks. May their memories be a blessing. May we feel surrounded by their love. As we go forth from this time and place, let us be inspired by their courage, their wisdom, and their dreams. Let us honor them by doing the work of living boldly, loving mightily, and creating our own heaven on earth. Blessed be.
The doctrine of the communion of saints is simple, really. All it says is that once you buy the farm, you still live on the farm. All it says is that those who have gone before us are still with us. All it says is that past generations still count and must be taken into account. In other words, we're all in this together, all of us.
And speaking of neighbors, three excerpts from Prodigal Summer by Barbara Kingsolver. Nanny Land Raleigh was Garnet's nearest neighbor and the bane of his life. He suspected Nanny Raleigh had been put on this earth to try his soul and tempt his faith into doubt. Why else, with all the good orchard land stretching north from here to the Adirondacks, would a woman have ended up, would that woman have ended up as his neighbor? Her sign alone was enough to give him hives. No spray zone. As if all a person had to do to rule the world was concoct a full set of opinions and paint them on a 3x3 square of plywood. That, in a nutshell, was Nanny Raleigh. He'd explained it to her scientifically. One application of herbicide on my bank will not cause your apple trees or anybody else's to drop off all their leaves. Not to drop off their leaves, no, she admitted. But what if some inspector came tomorrow to spot check for chemicals on my apples? I'd lose my certification. Her certification. Nanny Raleigh was proud to tell the world she'd been the first organic grower to be certified in Zebulon County, and she was still the loudest one. Nanny Raleigh had declared war not only on the county's 2,4-D, but also on the 7-dust and other insecticides that Garnet was bound and obliged to put on his own seedling trees to keep them from being swallowed by the army of Japanese beetles camped out on Nanny Raleigh's unsprayed pastures. There was no end to her ignorance or her zeal. The source of the Japanese beetles seems to be your brush pile, Miss Raleigh. To which she replied, Mr. Walker, the source of Japanese beetles is Japan. There was no talking to her. Why even try? He noted that her pitiful old foreign truck was gone from its usual spot. He wondered where she might have gone on a Friday morning. Saturday mornings, she always went out with her produce to the Amish market. Mondays to Kroger's. The local store was not adequate to her needs, according to Oda Black, who had seen her at Kroger's purchasing soy sauce. On Sundays, she went to that Unitarian place. Garnet was not about to call it a church. That was just her cup of tea, he imagined. A den of coffee-drinking women in slacks, making high-toned conversation along godless lines. Evolution, transcendentalism, things of that nature. Thank goodness it was over the county line, at least, where they had the college. That college was asking for it when they let in women. Garnet knew this much. For 2 days now, every time he'd happened to catch a glimpse of Nanny out in her garden, there he'd been, leaning on a fence. He hadn't even lifted a finger to help her carry her bushel baskets of squash and corn to the house. If that fella set foot inside her house, Garnet was prepared to call up the sheriff and get him over there. He would have to. She didn't know enough to protect herself. Almighty stars, there he still was, like a wolf waiting for the lamb. She was not even anywhere in sight. Well, then, he thought suddenly, wildly, this was his chance. He could go over there this minute and give that fellow his walking papers. Maybe just holding his shotgun would steady him. He wouldn't load it. There wasn't any need. He would just carry it out there with him to give him the air of a man who meant business. Hello there, I'm Garnet Walker, and I'd like to know your business if you don't mind. The man didn't speak. Garnet squinted. There was no face. There was just a stuffed pillowcase with a hat on it, stuck down into a stuffed shirt and pants. He'd been jealous of a scarecrow. He turned to leave before things got worse. Garnet Walker, she cried. What's that? Oh, that's my shotgun. I see. And might I ask what it's doing here? It came out to have words with this fellow who's been leaning up against your fence for the last couple of days. She narrowed her eyes at Garnet. And you came over here to make sure I was all right. Is that what you're telling me? You came over here with your shotgun to protect me from Buddy, my scarecrow? I had to, Garnet said, spreading his hands, throwing himself on her mercy. I didn't care for the way Buddy was looking at you. Now Nanny looked more than stunned. She looked lightning struck. She stared at him until a smile broke out and spread over her face like the sun coming out after a storm. She walked to him with her arms out like a sleepwalker's, put those arms around his waist, and hugged him tightly with her head resting against his chest. It took a minute and a half before he thought to put his arms around her shoulders and to keep them there. He felt as stiff as old Buddy, as if he too had nothing inside his shirt and pants but newspaper and straw. But then, by and by, his limbs relaxed, and she just stayed there like a calm little bird inside the circle of his arms. It was astonishing. Holding her this way felt like a hard day's rest. It felt like the main thing he'd been needing to do. Mr. Walker, Garnet, will wonders never cease, she said. And to be certain they did not, Garnet held her there. Now, Nanny, you're a difficult woman. She laid the side of her face against his frail old heart, where the pink shell of her ear could capture whatever song it had left.
Let us enter into a spirit of meditation. These were our beloved, these whose names we've spoken aloud or in our hearts are our beloved still. And our hearts swell with gratitude that it is so. We're grateful for days, weeks, months, or years, whether long or too short. Grateful for enduring memories and forgotten moments. Grateful for lives and stories entwined. Grateful for lessons and laughter, work and play, activity and stillnesses shared. Our gratitude for having been known and loved in our wholeness by these kin who shaped our being and are now gone, that gratitude calls us into life. In their memory, their honor, we breathe in peace and resolution and breathe out regret and rumination. Breathe in serenity, breathe out disquiet. Breathe in courage, breathe out fear. That we might not cease living before we cease drawing breath. For this call into life more fully lived is the blessing born of having loved souls now departed. Amen. Our first reading this morning, a poem by Jordan Jace, I Want. I want to write poems for construction workers and dreamers, for revolutionaries, for deadbeats and those on the low. I never want to ask, please fix us all. I want for us to want to patch every heart and pave every road and destroy every system that has ever left us broken. I want to call someone baby. I want to stop smoking because I want to live. I can only love my comrades if I live. And I want to clean my room. I want to clean my room every week and make my bed and put peppermint in my hair, to stop needing my inhalers and to inhale solidarity and to eat the rich. I want to eat the rich, to cancel the rents, to know my neighbors and to know my neighbors are safe. I want to move like water, to move from unity to struggle to unity, to have no perfect world we haven't fought for. And from Ada Limón, Dead Stars. Out here there's a bowing even the trees are doing, winter's icy hand at the back of all of us, black bark, slick yellow leaves, a kind of stillness that feels so mute it's almost in another year. I am a hearth of spiders these days, a nest of trying. We point out the stars that make Orion as we take out the trash, the rolling containers, a song of suburban thunder. It's almost romantic as we adjust the waxy blue recycling bin until you say, man, we really should learn some new constellations. And it's true. We keep forgetting about Antlia, Centaurus, Draco, Lacerta, Hydra, Lyra, Lynx. But mostly we're forgetting we're dead stars too. My mouth is full of dust, and I wish to reclaim the rising, to lean in the spotlight of streetlight with you toward what's larger within us, toward how we were born. Look, we are not unspectacular things. We've come this far, survived this much. What would happen if we decided to survive more? To love harder? What if we stood up with our synapses and flesh and said no? No to the rising tides. Stood for the many mute mouths of the sea, of the land. What would happen if we used our bodies to bargain for the safety of others, for Earth? If we declared a clean night, if we stopped being terrified, if we launched our demands into the sky, made ourselves so big people could point to us with the arrows they make in their minds, rolling their trash bins out after all this is over? Here in the readings. There was a time in our faith tradition's history when All Souls was the second most common name for our congregations behind First Parish or First Church, whatever city. It was a reflection of the Universalist strand of our merged tradition, our belief that all souls are held in God's unceasing love. This All Souls Day, November 2nd, the day the Christian Church remembers all who weren't remembered yesterday on All Saints Day, this All Souls Day, I'm cognizant of how often I've drawn our attention to our Universalist heritage since returning from my summer break and even before. At the Hands Off rally last spring, I spoke of our Universalist forebears not believing anyone is damned, and I spoke of the primacy of love at the center of our faith tradition yet today. I posited that those who gathered at the rally hold love at the center of their lives, too. Love of neighbor, love of stranger, immigrant, trans kin, love of those living at economic and social margins of society, love even of our republic flawed as it is, and love of the generosity that has at times made it a good friend, neighbor, and ally, of the diversity that has made it robust and vibrant, and the striving toward fuller equity and inclusion that will make it ever more resilient and resourceful. I reminded those gathered that at that time, Senator Booker had recently declared again and again that the power of the people is stronger than the people in power. And I suggested that we were at the rally that day, not only because we know that's true, but because we know the power of the people doesn't lie solely in our numbers, but also and vitally in our love. I said we already love the hell out of our imperfect, broken, beautiful, possibility-laden country, and that we were there that day because each of us, through our own faith or reasoning or experience, had come to understand that our task in this moment is to boldly love the hell out of our country, love the hate out of our country, Love the greed out of our country. Love the transphobia out of our country. Love the cruelty out of our country. Love the wanton disregard for the health of our planet, home, out of our country. I quoted 20th century French philosopher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, who wrote, "Someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love, and then for a second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire." And I said, the fire of love burning in our bellies, in our hearts, is a power the people in power cannot comprehend and don't know enough to fear. An all-consuming generative power that will, if we keep it burning fiercely and courageously at our core, love their hell right out of our country. That was April. In September, when we launched our Healthy Congregations team, I spoke of the different emphases of our Unitarian and Universalist forebears and said this. Here at the end of the first quarter of the 21st century, Unitarian Universalism exists in a tension between believing that we are each good enough just as we were born and are every day of our lives, that is to say, we're too good to be damned, and knowing that we are each flawed, that is to say, thank goodness, God is too good to damn us. Our salvation, I said, might lie in that very tension, in the degree to which we as individual Unitarian Universalists and as gathered groups of UUs come to know in our hearts, know in our bones, that being flawed is not the opposite of being good enough. 2 weeks ago, when I was last in the pulpit, I reminded us that our Universalist theology calls us to extend compassion even toward those whose words and actions we abhor. I didn't plan to have Universalism as a preaching theme this year. After all, how many themes do we need? We have our monthly Soul Matters themes, providing continuity between religious education, covenant groups, and Sunday worship. And our president, Jessica Levitt Otora, chose love at the center as a meta theme for this year. True, love at the center and universalism are nearly but not quite the same. But I don't think that's all or even primarily what's calling me to preach universalism this year. I think the battle that's being waged for the life of our country right now isn't at its core a battle between right and left, red and blue, progressivism and conservatism, or Republican and Democrat. I believe it is a battle between those who strive, succeeding only imperfectly, to see a neighbor in an immigrant or an unhoused person, a friend in a trans co-worker, a cherished child in a queer teen, a sibling in a person swiping an EBT card in the grocery line, and those who see only something less than fully human in any face that isn't white, cisgender, straight, wealthy, able-bodied, Christian by the narrowest and most corrupted definition of Christian, or powerful. In other words, it is a battle between those who hold the sanctity of all souls above all else and those who believe we can and indeed should disregard, write off, ignore, abandon the majority of the souls who live within our borders. As Universalists, as Unitarian Universalists, we are called to align ourselves with all souls. souls of all faiths, souls speaking all languages, souls of all employment, educational, and socioeconomic statuses, souls of all genders, souls of all ages and races and cultures, souls of all political parties. This is the more difficult path than dismissing most souls. Because let's face it, a huge proportion of all souls are difficult, demanding, perplexing, petty souls, each of us included. It's tough to align ourselves day in and day out with people quite similar to ourselves, our families and our closest friends, for example. And much harder still to figure out what it means practically, functionally, to align ourselves with people whose experiences and circumstances are far removed from our own. How do we respect their cultures without misappropriation? How do we ask what they need from us without crossing a line into prurient curiosity? How do we share our resources without condescension and patronization? How do we open ourselves to mutually fulfilling relationships while maintaining our own boundaries and integrity, neither suppressing our true selves nor expecting others to suppress their true selves? And to hearken back to that sermon 2 weeks ago, how do we uphold their rights while abhorring their words and actions? We do it together. We do it over again when we get it wrong. We remember that all souls are protected only when all souls are protected. Therefore, the existence of our loved ones and we ourselves depends on us siding again and again and again, imperfectly but fervently, with all the folks the people currently in power seek to cast out. We do it by observing All Souls Day 365 days of the year, never forgetting we're all in this together, all of us. Amen. We who remain, our difference is diversity, and protecting diversity is the only way to ensure the survival of everything. Therefore, be what they do not want. Be thoughtful. Be skilled at loving. Be of good heart. Be the world tribe. Amen.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.